Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies and TV shows and comics and various things. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me as always, my co-host Nick Mason. Hello.
We're here in the man cave.
Shut
your
up.
Your man
cave. It's just
cave.
A room.
Is it though?
It's just a room with some boxes. I'm yet to unpack
you
stuff.
You got a big bass on the wall.
I do have
like
a big
bass. Mounted bass.
I'm next to it. I've got one of those joke bass that talk when you walk past.
We're both wearing fezzes, like we're in the water buffaloes or whatever from the Flintstones.
Got my little bloody bar in the corner.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's nothing like that. It's literally a room with some things on the floor.
Like yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some bloody leopard skin, bloody beanbags, mate. This place will be sweet. Or leather. Or maybe a combination.
I think we should get, because you said earlier before this, because we're setting up your man cave.
Yeah.
That
not a man cave.
That we're gonna get some proper podcasting chairs.
Yeah.
I think we should get those super fancy Aeron chairs that they had like in the .com boom.
Okay.
It was super, and they had like a little remote and you could move them and adjustable and whatever. And that's how they all went bankrupt and failed. So that's what
they
we're going to
get. Still
sell
those? We could probably get some for cheap.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
I'm sure if you just went to a landfill, we could
we
find
could drag some out, yeah. Yeah.
Great.
All right, we'll put a chain on the ute and we'll drag some out.
News?
Yeah,
movie news?
Let's do it.
Roughly the news?
Yes, indeed.
It said that Tom Hardy is going to produce and possibly star in an adaptation of 100 Bullets.
Very nice, okay.
It's pretty good for DC. Or I think it's Vertigo, but Vertigo's a subsidiary of DC, right?
I don't know. So he's going to be Agent Graves.
Well, he'll produce it. There's no word yet on whether he's in it. But I'd say he wouldn't
He wouldn't be one of the minor background characters.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be one of the people who's been wronged and he's in one episode and then he gets revenge and then he's fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That would make a great TV show though, don't you reckon?
Yeah.
And like as opposed to a movie, which this is.
Oh, right. Wasn't listening.
Oh, okay.
Now I am. I'm fully on board. Yeah, no, it would be a better TV series. What is he doing?
There's
not enough time to build the universe.
You need 100 bullets.
You need 100 bullets and you need them to assemble the Minutemen, the team, over a period of time. You can't do that in 2 hours.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's like they're starting a universe or whatever.
Oh, good luck to them then.
I feel like, because he obviously he was Rick Flag in the Suicide Squad.
Yes.
I think he's like, well, I kind of want to have my own franchise or whatever. Because that's like Will Smith and Margot Robbie and whatever.
Yeah,
so I think he's like, I'm a big star. I'm Mad Max. And, you know, I'm assuming. But good on him. I think it'd be great.
That's how he greeted the day every morning on the set of Mad Max. And now it's stuck. He does it to every movie.
Wherever he goes.
That movie where he's the Cray brothers. He gets up and he's like, I'm Mad Max. And then he goes, I'm also Mad Max.
Twins. That Cray's movie looks really good.
Yeah, I know, right?
Looks totally Cray. Am I right?
You're lucky we're in the man cave right now. We can get away.
It's not a man cave.
You can get away with bro talk like that. All right.
So here's some interesting news. Fox, 20th Century Fox, say that they are committed to the Fantastic Four franchise.
When did they say that? Sure, no, that's very good.
Yeah,
that's one of your pieces of fake news.
No, that's real.
Huh.
Yeah, then my laugh was genuine. Like it sounded like a fake guy's laugh, but
yeah.
I mean, look, it wasn't genuine, but I laughed earlier, so.
Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
I'm just kind of going with that.
You practiced in front of a mirror earlier.
That's right. Yeah. How does that sound to you?
Why?
I think what it is, it's still in cinemas. They're not going to come out and go, we're ditching this a week
absolutely,
after it comes out.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, they'll make as much money as they can.
Yeah. Listen, movie's been out for a week and we have no faith in it. Just letting you know, don't even bother.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't wring any water out of a dry sponge. That makes no sense. And the director and studio hate each other. Mm. As the saying
goes.
Have
you puzzled it out? Have you fought? Because you've been obsessed with determining what's going on.
Like, I made a video and I was happy with it. And then, like, during the week, like, other stories came out about...
Oh, no.
Apparently, Josh Trank and Miles Teller came chest to chest at one point. Ooh. And they did that whole... Throw a punch! I dare ya! You know what?
Yeah.
You know what guys do?
Which is amazing because what are you arguing about on that? I demand to be stretchier. Let me be stretchier on this movie.
You'll be as stretchy as I say you are. That's how that goes.
We're doing your stretchy arm with a camera trick. I'm doing the stretchy arm with a big bit of PVC pipe. And we're going to throw it across the set. That's how we're doing it. You want to go down?
But yeah, I that video I made, it's good up to a point.
Right.
And I I pissed off, what's his name? Max Landis with it.
Oh, really?
I said that he co-wrote Chronicle.
Yes.
Because it's what Josh Trank said on The Fat Man on Batman. Anyway, somebody tweeted to him and he saw it and he corrected me that he didn't.
He didn't write. He just wrote.
He wrote the screenplay and he has co-story writing credits.
Oh, well, Lani, duh.
I'm like, sorry, man. Jesus. This is just what he said.
Sorry to split some hairs there, Landis.
Nah, he's all right.
Yeah, fine.
All right. NBC are developing a series in conjunction with DC. It's called Powerless. And it's kind of like The Office, but it's set in the DC universe, but it focuses on regular people working at an insurance agency.
So it's damage control.
Exactly. Except, I mean, without all the fun.
Yeah, sure.
No, it's The Office in bloody...
So for anybody who doesn't know, Marvel in the 90s had a series called Damage Control.
Which you love.
I love Damage Control.
But that was more construction and stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was basically Damage Control were a construction firm employed by the city of New York to rebuild... New York in its entirety every time superheroes destroyed it.
The third Ant-Man was in that as well at one point. Irredeemable Ant-Man. He was part of it.
Oh.
So in his story arc. Before he died, now he's a
robot. Oh, I see. That's been built into that.
Yeah, now he's a robot or something.
Right. Okay, so sure.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but that was a very fun series and it's a shame. People, there's been some rumors that Marvel might have been going to do that for a series.
I think that's just us hoping for that.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
But this, to me, this sounds pretty good.
Hmm.
I mean, and apparently there's no like Superman, Batman or whatever. I mean, I'm sure they'll probably be mentioned.
Now, it sounds good. What's it going to be like?
The Office. The American Office.
But is it going to be funny though?
Well, The Office took a season to get funny.
No, but I mean like they're saying it's The Office, but do they mean it's set in an office?
I think it's set.
The sense I get with any DC property is it's not going to be funny. So when they say it's like The Office, they mean it's going to be like... a series, you know, it's going to be an interview, like they're going to, it's a camera crew following people around in an office.
I'm fairly certain that's
and it's
what
not
it's going to
be funny.
I think, it's with NBC and they did Parks and Rec and The Office, right? I think it'll be fine. It's a completely different thing from the movies.
Yeah.
I think it'll be good enough.
Sure. That's the spirit.
You happy with that?
Yeah, why not?
You probably get
what's
some,
it called again?
Powerless.
Okay, right.
Isn't there a British series like that? No, it was about superheroes in a bar. Thinking about
that was No Heroics. No, yeah, heroics, that's funny.
Sorry, yeah. What did you think of the Hateful Eight trailer?
Quentin Tarantino's doing a Western again.
Another Western.
That's interesting.
I think he's doing a Western trilogy. I think he's going to do another one at some
He
point.
Wants to do a Man With No Name
exactly.
style trilogy. But do we have a recurring character?
No, and all the men have names.
That is very
true. As far
as I
know.
Yes, that is so true.
Yeah, I don't think so. Maybe he'll come back as his Australian... Whatever that was. Remember he did an Australian accent in bloody...
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
That wasn't good.
Mm.
But, you know, he exploded.
So yeah, absolutely.
That's all right.
Yeah, looks good. I mean, he did do 2+ crime films in Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, so why not 2?
And Jackie Brown
yeah.
That, so,
yeah. So,
yeah, whatever.
Why not? Looks good. Whose career is he resurrecting in this? Is it Jennifer Jason Leigh?
Possibly.
Yeah.
I want to say Kurt Russell.
No.
No, Kurt Russell's always... been popular, but I feel like he's not like everybody loves Kurt Russell, but he hasn't had like a big breakout.
Right.
He's back, give him an award kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Right. But I think do you think Tarantino's given him a second shot at this after Death Proof?
Death Proof was balls.
Yeah, I know it was balls. That's what I'm saying.
That's potentially what I'm saying.
But what I mean is like, do you think he's like, well, this is enough? I don't think people will be like, well, he's back in for Oscar contention for this. I think it's kind of, I think he gives everybody one shot, you know. Pulp Fiction,
Yep.
What's his face? Your mate, Travolta?
Not my mate.
No, he's your best mate.
Don't like him.
Yeah. Tim Roth is back in this one.
Tim Roth's back. Yeah, yeah. He was his bloody go-to for one. You gave him a shot in Reservoir Dogs.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Who else did he give a shot to?
Heaps
of bloody people, mate.
Yeah.
He's good. Who else
is in this? Michael Madsen is back, of course, because he's the good luck charm.
I've never seen him so enthused.
Right.
Well, sorry, since Kill Bill 2?
Right, yeah.
Or maybe, I think it was in 1 briefly as well.
Mm.
Yeah. Michael Madsen's only good in a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Yes,
I've never seen him do anything of note. I think he's in Species, but I don't think that's a good movie.
It's a lot of phoning it in, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Samuel L. Jackson.
What about Walking Dead Season 2, the video game?
Michael Madsen's in that.
Apparently.
Oh, wow, there you go. He would have literally phoned that in.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson.
Yep, great.
Who else? Anyone else?
Playing old Samuel Jackson. Yep. Walton Goggins is in this.
Who say again?
He's from The Shield.
Okay.
Or Wally Goggles, as I like to call him. And if everybody in his life doesn't call him Wally Goggles, there's something wrong with this
That's
world.
That's right, yeah. Mm. Agreed.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, and Zoe Bell's in it. She's not in the trailer.
Yeah.
But Zoe Bell is another Quentin Tarantino good luck charm. She is a stunt double. Well, she was a stunt double.
Oh, yeah, she's in Death Proof as well.
She's in Death Proof, yeah.
And she's Uma Thurman's stunt double.
There we go, yeah.
Bloody, what's it called?
Yeah.
Ninja. The car stunts in Death Proof are good.
Yes, they are.
It's just not a good, it's just a long, boring, nothing film that goes for too long. But it's not that long, but it feels really long.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Cop that, Tarantino. You auteur.
One of your amazing films isn't as good as the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Do you reckon, is he getting better? Not better. He's evolving, right?
That is a really good question.
Because I think Inglourious Bastards is probably as good as Pulp Fiction, in my eyes.
I think the pacing is better, maybe.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
If you go back to Pulp Fiction, I rewatched that recently.
Yeah.
It's still very good, but I feel there's some dead spots in it, maybe. Sure. And I think maybe he's getting better in filling in those gaps.
Okay,
kind of
sure,
thing.
Yeah.
Because I mean, Django was real long as well, right?
Yeah,
That was a movie and a half.
Yeah, I like Django, but I didn't love it. Yeah.
So we're saying he's getting worse as a director.
That's what we're saying now. I've changed our minds.
Yeah.
Changed my bloody tune, mate. And the Westworld trailer, speaking of westerns, the western is back. Not really.
No, certainly not. It's not going to survive on its own. Boy. Although Deadwood went a really long time, right?
Then it was cancelled. There was actually talk this week of a Deadwood movie, potentially. I haven't watched Deadwood. I've got it, but I've yet to watch it. Mm. Have you watched it?
No.
Hey, there's a lot of cussing.
Sure.
I don't know if I approve.
And delightful character actor Stephen Tobolowsky. He's in it. Apparently.
Oh, good.
He's great.
And Ian McShane, who can't do anything outside of Deadwood. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Oh, he's in the next season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Westworld, though. What'd you think?
Looks pretty good, right?
It does. I mean, it doesn't show much.
No.
Apparently the focus...
It seems to be a lot of androids being 3D printed.
Yes.
That seems to be the big thing.
I like that.
Mm.
There's a lot of... what was I going to say? It's HBO. A lot of the focus is this apparently is on the androids.
Yep.
So they'll be staying there and it'll be different people coming through. So for those people who don't know, there was a Western in the mid to late 70s called Westworld that had Yul Brynner.
It had Yul Brynner, yes.
Who I love.
When he was alive.
And he was alive. And he kind of played the same character that he played in Magnificent Seven, which is another great movie. Where people would come to this town and you kind of live out a fantasy of, it's set in the future, so all the cowboys are robots and you have like a fake gunfight and you go to a brothel or a saloon or whatever, you know what I mean?
So a fake gunfight but a real brothel is what you're saying.
It's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, great.
And, you know, it's kind of like Jurassic World with cowboys, I guess.
Yeah,
robot
sure.
cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
Or Jurassic
but then Park. Everything goes wrong.
Yeah.
Mm.
Westworld style.
Yeah.
And, so... James Marsden's in this, Anthony Hopkins.
Who is the Yul Brynner character?
I think it's James Marsden. Oh, maybe.
But my
know.
Question is he going to malfunction every week?
I hope so.
Great. Settled.
And they chewed him up and they're like, yeah, it should be fine.
This is definitely it. If there's any problems, turn him off and then turn him back on again. I can't leave him. I'm taking vacation. If there's another massacre, give me an email. Shoot me a text and I'll come back. In a week and I'll fix him.
Maybe we'll consider not giving them real bullets. We'll see how that goes. All right. D23.
DisneyCon,
big
sure.
Big thing, DisneyCon.
Lasseter was there making announcements.
He was making all sorts of announcements.
Yeah.
Do you want me to start with the most exciting news?
Incredibles 2.
Yeah, sure.
Is that not your favourite? That's mine.
Okay.
Is it Toy Story 4?
Okay.
There's a lot of sequels on this slate,
there
if
was.
I'll be honest
no,
with you.
No, I did have that down. The Incredibles 2 is definitely one of the most... My exciting one wasn't really exciting.
I see.
It was the least exciting.
You were doing a comedy bit.
I was doing a thing.
Okay.
So yeah, they announced...
Wait, do it and I'll act like okay.
Pirates 5, Orlando Bloom's back.
Hey, but you don't... Oh, you're doing a comedy bit. Great.
But the interesting thing about that is it's not that interesting.
Okay.
Orlando Bloom appeared the last one in 2007.
Yep.
And when this comes... And then he had to go on a ship to escort souls to hell or heaven or the afterlife.
Oh, and he comes back every 10 years or something?
So it will be 10 years when this
rolls around. Oh, so that's fun. That's a real life.
I wouldn't say fun is not the word.
No. It's an odd coincidence.
Drawn out.
Yeah, it's a drawn out kind of coincidence. Is Keith Richards back in this one?
I don't think so.
Is Australia's own Jeffrey Rush back in this one?
You know what? He's really good in those movies.
Yeah, I know, right?
But I don't know. Yeah. All I know is Johnny Depp's back and Orlando Bloom's back.
Great. Is the big wheel that Johnny Depp runs on and goes, what's happened? Is
I'm sword fighting two different people who are maybe sword fighting each other? I don't know.
That's back.
That's an amazing effect.
Yeah.
It's total balls though, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Some of those movies are good, but I couldn't tell you which ones.
The first one's good.
Yep.
The fourth one is the second best, but because I did you in 2 and 3.
You weren't on board with it. You've... The fourth one wasn't. One of them is not original screenplay. It's based on a book, right?
Oh,
is
really?
It on Stranger Tides?
Might be.
Continue talking and I will think about it.
Okay. So, yeah. Cars 3, Toy Story 4, which I think we already knew was happening. But, yeah, the big... And there was a bunch of other ones. But the big one was Incredibles 2, which Brad Bird is coming back to direct.
Yeah.
And he recently did Tomorrowland, which we didn't mind.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but that, like, tanked, like, bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it got very mixed kind of... reception.
Yeah,
so, but I'm glad he's back for Incredibles 2. I'm sure he's back because he's got a good idea and he wants to do it, because he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who just does things. Because
what if it was just a shot for shot Fantastic Four reboot remake, but much better?
That would be Incredibles.
Yeah, it absolutely would be Incredibles 2.
Yeah. So what makes you excited about Incredibles 2 more than, say, Cars 3?
I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to dignify that with a response. But I am going to say Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, based on the novel On Stranger Tides by Tim Powers.
Okay.
So it wasn't they've taken the plot of this book, which I haven't read, but is apparently quite good, and they've just put Johnny Depp on it.
on it.
Yeah, they've just put Johnny Depp right on it.
On Stranger Tides.
1987 historical fantasy novel featuring a lot of big spinning stone wheels. Perfect.
Dun, 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 dun. Skeletons, medallions, dun, 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 dun.
There's a skeleton on the cover.
Good.
Yeah.
Has it got a medallion?
It's got a telescope and a parrot on its shoulder.
Sounds piratey enough.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, good.
What else are they doing? Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
Didn't they all die?
No, you're thinking of Schindler's List.
I'm thinking of Schindler's
List. No, some of them got away.
Oh, that's true, yeah, okay.
Though some people say that Toy Story 3 is the Schindler's List of Toy Story movies.
Yeah, Schindler's Toy Box is what they call it.
Yeah. Toy Story 4, it's apparently a love story where Woody goes to find Bo Peep. Because in 3, if you remember, Bo Peep was given away or something. You don't find out why she's not there. Uh-huh. So him and Buzz go on a little adventure.
Right.
Which is the best. When you get those two together, that's the best Toy Story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they've got great chemistries. Mm. Even though they're toys, they're obviously not real, but the voices of the people are real. Do you know what I mean? It's movie magic. I don't want to get into it.
The Toy Story movies, do they record the voices together or separately?
It depends on the movie. I think they do them separately for Toy Story, but I know for Monsters, Inc. it wasn't working, so they got John Goodman and Billy Crystal together in it.
Huh.
Yeah, so I think it just depends. Mm. I'm fairly certain, I'm probably wrong, that Tom Hanks and Tim Allen didn't meet each other till like the premiere of the first one.
There you go.
But that's probably a thing that isn't real. I just made up.
Yeah.
I'm having some water.
Okay. You've earned it.
I feel like I have.
Mm.
All right. Do you want to hear about Star Wars?
I guess. Oh, because this was part of D23, wasn't it?
Sorry, I should say, do you want to hear about Star Wars at length?
Oh, then definitely, yeah. They produced a set photo for Rogue One, didn't they?
Yeah.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah, what do you think?
It's real dark.
It's real gritty.
It's dark and gritty.
Yeah.
But it's still a little bit of spark in their eyes, eh?
Just a little bit. A little bit of that magic.
Mm-hmm.
It's now officially called Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. I think Star Wars Rogue One.
Star Wars Rogue One, yeah, exactly. Because a lot of people will stop reading. They'd be like, Rogue One,
Exactly. Someone sent me a tweet.
Close the browser, close the laptop, switch off the laptop, turn the car around, away from the movie theater, go home, drop the kids off, drive the car into a lake or something. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Yeah, we've all done it.
I got this tweet from Thomas, and he sent me a picture of the Rogue One, and he said, "So that's it, huh? We some kind of Rogue One."
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Which is obviously a play on that other movie that's the thing that Will Smith is in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they announced all the cast, like Ben Mendelsohn's in it for sure. What's his name? He's in Species. He's the last king of Scotland.
Natasha Henstridge.
That's him.
Yeah.
What's his fucking name?
Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker's in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Felicity Jones, who was, I think, the only person that was announced. And it is set before A New Hope, which I think we already knew. They didn't show any footage of anything, by the way, which J.J. Abrams actually announced earlier this week. But also there was a big thing in Entertainment Weekly about Star Wars.
Yes.
Where they showed a whole lot of pictures and look at the magic of filmmaking and whatever. Do you want to hear about it?
Yeah, tell me about it. Look, I don't want to hear about it, quite frankly, but it's not about me anymore, is it?
No, it really isn't.
It's about the weekly whackadoos, our loyal listeners. I'm bringing that back, by the way.
Bring it back? Yeah. Good. You know how Kylo Ren's name was Kylo Ren?
Sure.
Apparently Ren is like an order of knights, so they're the Knights of Ren.
Okay, sure.
And so he's...
And they're opposing the Knights of Stimpy.
Believe it or not, you're the first person to make that joke. I'm great. Joking. Shut up.
Oh, well, time to get in the car and drive it into a lake.
Close the laptop.
Yep.
Yeah. Also, he didn't release all the last names for a reason. So there's rumors that Kylo Ren is... The Adam Driver character is... He's bloody Han Solo's son. The girl, Daisy Ridley, is bloody also Han Solo's son. Uh-huh. There's just... So many Han Solo sons.
Yes.
Did you see the leaked picture of
Mark Hamill?
Yeah. Yeah, what did you think? I did. Looks, I mean, it might not be legit, but it looks pretty legit.
Look, it looks legit insofar as it's different colors to all the previous Jedi
like the
costumes.
Fan art and,
the fan art and the whatever. So, yeah. Some they've finally gone, hey, maybe Jedi don't always dress exactly the same literally all the time.
Yeah.
For no reason.
I like it.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think he's going to do some sweet CGI flips?
I hope not. I hope every scene you think he's going to and then he's like, actually, I'm really old.
This isn't that kind of movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Star Wars.
It's not this kind of Star Wars at all.
Also, they released a whole bunch of toys, like some images of the upcoming toys. And interestingly, it's packaged as this, The Force Awakens, but it doesn't actually say Force Awakens on it because... And all the other ones do. There's toys of Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader from Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
Which and because you know how
so there's a flashback sequence.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. I mean, it may just be here's your bloody Darth Vader toy.
Oh, here's what you wanted. Shut up. Just take it. Yeah.
But I think so because
we're legally obligated to put these in the pack for some reason.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that
if we don't, David Prowse gets the rights to Star Wars. Like if we don't release a Darth Vader figurine. The actor who played David Prowse in the original movies gets the multi-billion-dollar franchise.
Correct.
After being...
Which he will then drive into a lake.
Yeah, after being cheated out of royalties his entire life, he's like, I finally found that loophole.
Oh, poor Prowse.
No, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because Luke's lightsaber, or it's Anakin's lightsaber,
yep.
who gets handed to Luke, factors into this movie. So maybe they'll show Vader retrieving that or whatever. And then
that's the one that... When his hand got cut off.
Yeah.
In Bespin.
Flew into the bloody... Whatever it did. Into that weird pit.
Yeah. I don't know. Didn't that just go into like a gas planet?
No, because remember Luke falls into a little tube.
Yep.
And then he goes to the bottom and then for some reason a door opens and he falls onto an upside down TV antenna.
Oh, that's true.
And then
true.
He's like, fucking come and get me.
Yeah.
Do you remember
I remember that scene, yeah. Yeah, okay.
That's a great scene.
So the lightsaber was in Cloud City is what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah. I want to see real-time Vader trudge down and searching for it.
He's got a little light on his helmet.
Yeah, that's right. That's it. Do you want to hear about the Han Solo movie?
Well, now I do.
Good. Apparently he's going to be aged 10 at the beginning.
I don't want to say it.
I'm joking.
Okay, cool. Oh, you're clever.
No, Kathleen Kennedy, who's president of Lucasfilm, she's aware that not everything in the Star Wars universe needs to be explained or the origin of that.
Hindsight is 2020, isn't it?
Isn't it just?
Thanks for realizing that now. Could have spared us 9 hours of garbage, but all right.
But he will be in his late teens to early 20s.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's fine, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I think also you can get away, because he's about 35 in the first one.
Sure.
So you can get away with casting someone who doesn't look exactly like him, which you can't do because...
Well, there's no one like Harrison Ford.
There's no one like Harrison
Except for de-aged Harrison Ford or just get Andy Serkis to replicate perfectly the mannerisms of Harrison Ford, and then we use the weird CGI de-aging from Ant-Man to make him look exactly like Harrison Ford.
I would love that.
Get Serkis on the phone. Let's do this.
Well, he's in the Star Wars anyway, isn't he?
Yeah, just get him to do all the characters.
Yeah. He's bloody Supreme Leader Snoke. That's his name.
Great.
That's good, isn't it?
How do you think they come up with these names?
I think they just spin a wheel and it's got a whole bunch of dumb names on it. That's what I think.
Yeah, but how do they build the dumb wheel in the first place?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Not how do they assign the dumb names. Where do they get the dumb names from?
I think they just take regular words like spoke and go, let's just change one letter. Great. And they just take whatever. That's how I think it works. Like sure. Kylo instead of Kylie. They change one letter and they're like, yeah, fuck it, whatever. It'll do.
Great.
Spin the wheel. How do you think they came up with it?
No, that was pretty much.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Did you see the sweet poster, though, of the new Star Wars movie?
No.
It's in the tradition of Star Wars posters.
Oh, let's have a look.
I'll need that back because it's got all my information on it and I won't be able to do the rest of the show.
Yeah, fair enough.
Don't stamp on it.
I got enough. I was going to...
You could drop it in that glass
of water. I was going to do some sweet Foley work that made it sound like I was breaking something, but there's literally nothing in this man cave. You'd think with all the stuff in this man cave, all the manly stuff in here, that there'd be something I could use to make the sound effect, but there isn't. So, wow. There's your phone back.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
What do you think of the phone?
It looks good. Looks nice.
Yeah, it does look good.
It seems... That looks like part one in a series, though.
Yes.
Because normally you get the Star Wars the one sheet poster and it's every character.
Yeah, yeah.
Where's all the rest of the characters?
Good question. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not ready to reveal the other ones.
Well, that's true, yeah. Yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good stuff, everybody. That's the first poster we've seen, believe it or not.
Who does that art? Is there one guy who's been doing it for years?
I think he died and it's a different guy.
Okay.
Actually, I can find out because I'm literally on that page. This new poster, blah, blah, blah. This poster was created by artist Drew Struzan, who famously styled... His famous style has great posters for the other films in the Star Wars saga as well, the Indiana Jones film. Oh, I thought he died. There you go. He's alive. Good for him. That's great.
Yeah.
He does make some sweet posters.
Yeah.
Do you remember when they like re-released the one of the trilogies one of the times? And they just had those... They kind of... It was just like a crap kind of Photoshop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like this kind of style much better. They've decided on the director for Star Wars Episode 9, though. This is the last thing, not a joke.
Great. Okay. I'm ready for it to still be a joke, but okay.
Do you want to have a guess? I mean, you probably don't.
It could be any director ever.
You're right, it could, but it's not. It's one in particular.
One in particular. Is it a lady director?
No. Don't be sexist.
I don't have any ideas. No, who is it?
Okay, I'll give you another clue.
Okay.
It's someone who's made a movie this year that did reasonably well. I'll give you another clue.
Okay, I'm ready.
Dinosaurs. I'll give you another clue.
Yes.
Jurassic World. I'll give you another clue.
Yep.
Colin Trevorrow. I'll give you another clue.
Colin Trevorrow is
correct.
Great.
Did you like Jurassic World? You liked it, didn't you?
I liked it. It was a good fun film.
Yeah. It wasn't like brilliant, but a lot of people are like, oh, I didn't, because a lot of people don't like Jurassic World. So like, well, that doesn't sound like this is going to be good. But I feel like he worked well in the world of Jurassic World.
Yeah.
So it was fine. I think the story's mapped out. So whatever, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems as good as any.
It does seem to be a case of how much, I wonder at this point how much personality he brings to a movie generally. Because, I mean, with Jurassic World, he was a kind of a new director. And I think, you know, the executives and producers and stuff would have been like, make the film like this.
Yeah.
And he would have pretty much had no choice to be like, oh, okay, sure.
I can do that.
So, I don't know. Have we seen him do...
He did Safety Not Guaranteed.
Yeah, okay.
Which is great.
But have we seen... But we haven't seen him do anything big with his own stamp on it yet. Okay,
smartly, though, he's going smaller next. Yep. He's doing it. I can't remember what it is. And then he's going to do this. So that's... I like that they're getting different directors. I think that's smart.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, you don't... That's what they did for the original Star Wars.
Yeah,
And then... So what happened last time, didn't we?
Mm.
They were all really good.
Yeah.
All right.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Civil War.
Ooh.
Let's talk about Civil War.
Okay.
So there was some footage.
Oh, this is D23.
This is also D23. Okay, right. This is the last thing. Civil War. I thought they were going to release the trailer, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. So I didn't prepare a video for this Sunday because I always do a Sunday video. It's part of the name that I saddled myself with.
All the things you missed from the Civil War trailer, idiots.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But then they didn't release it, so I had to madly scramble to put some crap together. So that's, you know.
Great.
Go and watch that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it had some Black Panther. I haven't seen it, by the way. It hasn't even been leaked. They made everyone cloak their phones.
Like literally put them under a cloak.
Correct.
There has been some set photos leaked of the Black Panther.
Yeah.
He's climbing a building.
Yeah.
Or leaping off a building. Who's to say?
He's apparently a third party in it. So like there's Stark and bloody Steve Rogers.
Right.
And then Black Panther's got his own kind of
agenda. Hey, what's going on, guys?
What?
It's me, Black Panther. You guys have it a civil war?
He's got a vibranium weave outfit, doesn't he?
Yes.
That should be interesting.
Sure.
I like that. And the Vision's also vibranium. Bloody everyone's got vibranium.
Yeah.
Do you reckon Tony Stark will have a vibranium suit by the end?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, Tony Stark says to Captain America in it, I want to punch you in your perfect teeth.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty harsh.
Yeah.
Apparently, we see a bit of Hawkeye versus Black Widow because they're on different sides.
Ooh.
Do you know who's with who?
No. Do you know the answer?
Yes. Well, it's rumored.
Yes. This is a 50-50 rumor, basically.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah, great.
Black Widow's with Tony Stark.
Okay, sure.
Which is, you wouldn't think they would go that way. Because her and bloody Captain America are good friends or whatever. They're always going on a road trip.
That's true, yeah.
They went that one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing anybody's on Tony Stark's side when you think about it.
Well, he's got the Vision and that's pretty much his butler. And who else has he got? He's got War Machine, who's, he gave him his armor. So
yeah,
he
just
he could probably shut it down remotely, so.
Yeah.
You don't really have a choice. No Spider-Man, none of that.
Okay.
I think, you remember how like with the Vision, they kind of saved that till the last trailers?
They did, yeah.
So I don't think we'll see any of that for a while.
Mm.
And also there's a bit where Ant-Man's kind of fawning all over Captain America. He's like, oh my God, it's bloody Captain America. You're pretty great. All that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was me explaining the description that somebody else gave of the footage that they saw.
Let's spread it around like it's real, definitely.
Yeah. That's it though. That's all the bloody
news. We did the news.
We did. Did I miss something? Let me just go back.
I heard a rumor that Oded Fair is going to be Craven the Hunter.
Yeah, I heard that too. So I should put that in. That's great casting.
Yeah, good, right?
Yeah, agreed.
Maybe give him some hair.
Nah.
Can he grow hair, that guy?
Yeah, he's got hair.
Okay, sure.
When does he not have hair?
Oh, I'm thinking of somebody else.
You're thinking?
I was thinking of Arnold Vosloo.
I was going to say, you're thinking of bloody, they're both in The Mummy.
Yeah.
But Arnold Vosloo, no, he's. I was going to say he's in Iron Man. He's not. There's another bald guy who's
not. We're bad at this.
We are.
No, that'd be great.
Oded Fair would be great. It'd be amazing.
Mm-hmm. He can grow a terrifying beard, and that's what you want. With some white in it.
Nice. Yeah.
Very good.
He was in, he used to be about the right age as well. He's in Resident Evil 3.
Yes, he is, yeah. Yeah.
And probably other ones.
He's in several of the Resident Evils, I think.
How many
or just one. They all blow together. I don't know.
I didn't see the last one. That's the one where they made like, replica, like Tokyo or whatever.
Oh, yeah, it was too.
Did you see that one?
Yeah, I must have. I've seen all of them.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, that's great news. I'd like that.
Oh, they're also making another Resident Evil. I don't know if you knew that.
Great, let's see it. There's no way out of this.
Should I watch the last one where they have replica Japan or whatever?
Yeah.
All right, I will.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about the movie that nobody saw.
Oh, did nobody see it?
The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Opened $14 million in the US, which
on
isn't
a budget of
75. So it's not a complete.
Yeah.
Well, worldwide.
It'll make it. Right, it'll make that back, yeah.
on the flip side of that, Straight Outta Compton, which isn't out here, which I would like to talk about, made 50.
That's the whitest thing you've ever said, by the way. On the flip side, Straight Outta Compton.
It made $57 million.
Oh, wow. Okay,
so that's,
great.
That's bloody massive. Mm. I don't know if that's... Hopefully that'll get a release here. I feel like they'd be like, well, there's no market for that. I feel like that's...
Absolutely will, yeah.
But I feel like that's how it would be perceived.
Oh, okay.
By the movie studios.
No, yeah. At the very least, it'll get like an indie release at like your indie cinemas.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Now, before you say what you think of The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yes.
I got a letter for you.
Yes.
Hello, James.
People can email us at weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
You can email us any time of day.
Any time of day, but not night.
No.
If we receive an email nighttime Australian time, we will throw it in the bin.
Correct.
We'll throw it in the bin. That bin goes in the car goes into the lake. All right? So check your times first.
Hello, James and the other boys. I've been recently catching up on your shows, specifically the Mission Impossible Rogue Nation and Ant-Man reviews, and I noticed that Mason was not very enamored with either film. This, despite them being both entertaining, fun, and good films by all accounts, and ones I'd rank among my favorites of the summer. Usually you are both on the nail with your opinions compared with my own. What happened? Is he okay? Tell him to cheer the fuck up. Matt from England. Are you okay?
I think you got hit in the head at some point.
Matt from England?
Yes,
or me?
Precisely. Both of you probably. And your opinions have gone all skew-whiff.
I agree with you on Ant-Man. I was like, I liked it, but I didn't love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People love Ant-Man.
People bloody love Ant-Man. Yeah, it's cool.
Post-Fantastic Four reboots, everything seems pretty great. Like, coming out of that, I'm like, wow, I was pretty harsh on Ant-Man now that I think about it. Like, it was, like, considering what it could have turned into.
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, you judge a film when you see it and whatever you're bloody feeling at the time, don't you?
That's right.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
Pretty good.
Yep.
It's good, solid. We're not going to have a lot to talk about in this episode,
feel. I mean, I like it, but...
This is the latest Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a picture of Guy Ritchie recently, but I'm pretty sure at this point he's like a perfect sphere because all his edges have been sanded off. Like, he's got no edge left, this guy. If you'd say, if I'd just seen Snatch and then you presented me, or Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, and you presented me with Man from U.N.C.L.E. and said, who directed this? I would have had no idea.
You got to remember that he was with Madonna for like 10 years.
Sure.
Better bloody wear a man right down.
I guess that's true, yeah. That. Uh-huh, yeah.
And she made him make Swept Away.
Yeah, that is true.
Mm. The story of Man from U.N.C.L.E., what did you think it was?
Which is
my standard question.
That is good. So we've got two extraordinarily impossibly handsome men.
Correct.
One is Henry Cavill, who's playing the American Napoleon Solo.
Yes.
And he is a former criminal turned CIA agent or just government? American government.
I think
government.
He's CIA. I feel
CIA
he's,
agent.
Yeah.
And he's doing missions for the government to lessen his sentence.
Yep.
To get out or go into jail.
Yep.
And he encounters the man mountain that is
Army Hammer,
as Ilya Kuretkin. I'm just going to call him Army Hammer for the purpose of this episode.
Yep.
Who is a Soviet agent.
Yep.
And they don't get along, but they've got to get along for purposes of hijinks.
And nuclear weapons.
Nuclear weapons.
We got no spoilers and spoilers?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Is Army Hammer really that tall?
Apparently he's like 6'5", yeah.
Huh. How tall is Henry Cavill?
Like 6'1", 6'2", maybe? Huh. Yeah.
That is... All right. See, that
don't approve.
Well, this is the Batman v Superman that we
really
got, because Army Hammer was going to be Batman.
He was cast.
Would have been, you'd be like, why is Batman so much taller than Superman?
I think that's how they're doing it in the new movie, though.
Huh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So is traditionally Superman bigger than Batman?
Traditionally, Superman is 6'4", Batman is 6'2".
6'2". Yeah. I know.
Okay, good. That may have changed. I haven't checked that since the 80s.
Sure, okay. Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, they're both good, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I mean, well, who's the actress? Is
Alicia Vikander.
That's her. Who's also great.
Yeah.
What did you think? She's also very good looking. A lot of very good looking people in this movie. What did you think of their accents in general?
No, pretty solid.
Good enough, right?
Yeah, good enough, exactly. At no point did they take me out of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People don't like the Army Hammer Russian accent, but I was like, that's whatever.
Have you seen any of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. the TV series?
No, I haven't.
I've seen selected episodes.
Yeah, and?
Like, because Man from U.N.C.L.E. had a lot of odd guest stars.
Yeah.
Or like they had a lot of guest actors, but like before they were famous. So I've seen, there's an episode, I think in the first season, that is, it's got William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy in the same episode pre-Star Trek. That's which is great. Pretty good.
That's pretty great.
So, like, tonally, this
it's
is
Robert Vaughn.
It's Robert Vaughn, who
Magnificent Seven.
Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
He's in basketball. I think he's in basketball.
Is he?
I think so.
He's in that Star Wars knockoff. It's not the last Starfighter, but it's right. Something like that. Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's in. You would probably know him best as the rich guy in Bullet, who's all like Bullet. Get on the case. You're so Bullet. And then Bullet gets on the case. And then it turns out Robert Vaughn's kind of a bad guy. And he's like, get off the case,
you're
Bullet.
Bullets.
You're too Bullet for this case. Yeah. So it's him. And it's David McCallum, who is...
Is David McCallum in...
he's in
Greatest
NCIS.
Game? Oh, he's in it now. Yeah.
Yeah.
But was he in The Greatest Escape?
I think he was, yeah.
Yeah.
But so Robert Vaughn was Napoleon Solo.
Yep.
Ilya was played by David McCallum, who is Ducky in NCIS, the medical the eccentric British medical examiner.
Was that a very progressive show? Because it was obviously made in the Cold War era.
Yeah.
And one of the protagonists was a Russian KGB agent.
It was more that...
Like in the same way that Star Trek had a very kind of multicultural
I wouldn't
cast.
Say it was progressive. It was more that...
Oh, by the way, Mason's 57 years old. For
yeah, I'm very old. It was more like the uncle was sort of like, it wasn't strictly speaking the United Nations, because I don't think they were allowed to say, because it's UN, CLA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it was supposed, they were like, I think initially it was ambiguous as to whether it was the United Nations or whatever. So it was like, it's all the best agents and they're stopping evil.
Okay.
The evil of Thrush. I can't remember what Thrush stood for. It doesn't matter.
I don't think it stands for anything.
No. Look, they're just here to stop Thrush. They're like Doctors Without Borders. They're trying to stop Thrush worldwide.
Good.
Yeah. Anyway, I've seen like assorted episodes.
Yeah. Did this capture the spirit of it?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay.
So, tonally, they've found it. Guy Ritchie's kind of found a nice spot in the middle.
Yeah.
Because the early ones were in black and white, and like tonally, they were more serious.
Yeah.
And then it got increasingly wackier over the years, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then, because it was four seasons, and I think by three, it was super wacky.
Yeah.
And campy.
Yeah.
And then ratings were dropping. They're like, well, we've gone too far here. Let's make it more serious.
Okay.
And they sort of wound it back a bit, but it was too far and then it got cancelled.
It's too late.
But, yeah, too late. But I think they've sort of found a sweet spot in the middle. Do you think it was pretty funny, right?
I thought it was.
Some of the jokes fall a
little
bit
flat.
You
know what? I think it thinks it's funnier and cleverer than what it actually is.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But that's not to say that I didn't enjoy it. I went with my dad because I thought he'd enjoy it because, you know, he's as old as you are.
It's impossible to tell what dads are going to like, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but
it's
really
what? Difficult.
He's like, yeah, it was fine.
My dad really likes Team America World Police.
Does he?
Yeah. Man. Which is, it's funny.
But yeah.
It's weird. I'm like, why do you like that, Dad? Dads aren't supposed to like that movie. You know what I mean?
But I thought, because my dad loves all those kind of movies, like, you know, all that kind of era and, and whatever. Yeah, he was like, oh, bloody Hugh Grant. I'm like, you hate Hugh Grant? He's like, yeah, kind of. Like, why?
Yeah.
So I found out my dad hates Hugh Grant.
Who
I like a lot.
What a revelation.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so...
He's not in that
strictly
much.
Strictly speaking, pretty much every episode I've seen of The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah.
It's sort of this idea of here's the regular world and here's the world of espionage and they sort of cross paths.
Okay.
And they'll be like an innocent bystander who gets sort of caught in the crossfire.
Sure.
And like the good guys have to protect him and blah, blah, blah. So that sort of fits in because they get...
Alicia bloody...
Yeah, Vikander.
Vikander, yeah.
As what's her face name?
Yeah.
Gabby is her name.
But she joins one of the team, mate.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's bloody on and there's triple and double crosses all the way to the bloody end.
Yep.
Did you like the accents?
We've talked about the accents.
I meant to say action. Did you like the action?
Yeah, good. But like I said with Guy Ritchie now, like if we take it right at the start, there's a car chase.
I liked that opening sequence.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
But didn't you feel like there was a lot of green screen to
that? Oh, definitely. Yeah,
yeah. Like, if you think of, like, when I think of, like, Snatch.
It looked like Sin City.
Yeah.
With color.
Yeah, with Snatch or with Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, when there's a scene with cars, at some point somebody's going to get their head beaten with a car door.
Yeah.
You know, it feels very street level and kind of real and solid. But
yeah.
With this, you know, it was fun and tense, but at the same time... Weird and plasticky.
Yeah, you're right. But I enjoyed that. But I think that action scene isn't. There's nothing as funny or as interesting as that.
Right.
In the rest,
of the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I enjoyed how Armie Hammer's like the Russian Terminator kind of guy.
I also enjoyed the fact that it's not a guy who's fast and nimble and smart, and a guy who's giant and an idiot. Okay. Like, they're both quite competent in their roles, kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm.
They just have different accents.
They just have different accents, precisely. Yeah,
and fashion sense.
Different fashion sense, certainly.
Oh, that's what I wanted to ask you.
I'm ready.
You're a man of fashion.
Sure.
What did you think of the fashion?
Not bad fashion. Look, Napoleon.
That's a ringing endorsement.
Napoleon Solo's gone for a bit of a Pierre Cardin look, bit of John Steed in the Avengers, like his three piece suits and stuff, and he's kind of, but he's of course a giant man, so it's not quite
quite work.
Yeah. And
what would you put a giant man in? A big duffel coat.
Yeah, big duffel. Just a burlap sack or a barrel.
It says big man on it.
Yeah, a barrel with suspenders on it. And we got bloody Armie Hammer as sort of a street urchin.
Yeah,
exactly. Looks pretty good.
Big Oliver.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Precisely. Okay. His little hats.
But he knew stuff about women's fashion.
Yeah.
And that was nice.
Well, in the TV series, he actually, because there was a reunion movie, I think, in maybe the 80s.
Okay.
And he retired and became a fashion designer.
Oh,
I think.
Really?
Yeah, so that's a fun little...
I should have done a bloody Easter egg video.
It's too late, but who cares? Nobody's going to watch this.
No one cares.
Yeah.
People have already switched off. Mm. I'm trying to think of the other action sequences. What about, like, you know the bit on the boat?
Yes.
I guess this is sort of a spoiler, I guess.
Let's just review this now. Okay, so performances are great. It was pretty fun. I had a good time.
I wouldn't recommend it. I'd say...
Hush.
No, I'd say if it's something you... It's okay. It's fine. But so it's on that. It's like
I felt there was a lot of exposition.
Yeah,
especially early on.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people. There's a lot of Napoleon Solo being smug and explaining something at length.
Yeah,
there's a lot of that, which sort of takes me out of the movie.
Yeah,
if you can't do it with action,
do it with words.
Do it with words, precisely. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, but no, I give it a 10. I say best movie ever because it's not offensive.
Yeah,
and it's fine. Mm. What do you say?
I say best movie ever as well.
Because of the fashions.
Would you say it was... Yes, because of the fashions. Because of that Pierre Cardin look.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel this stacks up to the most recent Guy Ritchie stuff?
I think it's better than the Sherlock movies.
Okay.
Those have no... Speaking of no edge.
Yeah.
Like, I know people like those, but I don't think they're anything.
Right.
Like, have you seen them?
Yeah, I've seen the first one.
I mean, I didn't see Revolver and I didn't see Rock and Roller.
No.
I've seen bloody Snatch and Lock, Stock.
Right.
Sherlock Holmes is...
What do you think he's going to do next? Do you think he's going
to... He's doing King Arthur.
Right. So he's not going to do... So it's been a long time since he's done an actual original Guy Ritchie kind of property.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, no, he did... No, Rock and Roller was that kind of thing. Toby Kebbell was in it.
Yeah, but that's been a few years now, right?
Oh, maybe. Not. Yeah, probably like 2006. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think at this point he's like, I'll just make the big Hollywood movies whatever. I think that's how it
finally.
Goes. Well, he'd be mid-40s.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he's up to. What's his deal, mate? So yeah, there's an action sequence where Armie Hammer's flying around a speedboat and Henry Cavill's just watching him and eating food.
I thought that was fun.
I did, but I thought it went for too long. I'm like, this is a moment where you think this is cleverer than it actually
right,
is.
Right, but you don't have a full appreciation of a man slowly eating a sandwich in a truck.
That's probably
which
true.
Which I enjoy a lot, so...
Look, I'm sure there's 1,000 YouTube channels dedicated to that very thing, so maybe I'm just desensitized. But yeah, I thought that was...
You know what I've been watching a lot of recently?
What?
And we should have saved this for what we're eating, but I'll say it now. Is you ever watch a YouTube video of somebody like bursting a blackhead?
Oh, what? No.
They're really satisfying.
I don't want to watch that.
You should. Just get one. Just get a couple under your belt and you'll be like, wow.
You're a weird creep, mate.
They got a lot of views, let me tell you.
Not in my man cave.
All right, fine.
No, they would.
Yeah.
I watched something of like, do you know the tsetse fly?
Yes.
That's basically, yeah, so for those people who don't know, it's this is off topic. But these bugs that there's this type of fly that lay like the eggs under your skin.
Yes.
And then it grows into a maggot. Uh-huh. And you can feel them crawling around like in your skull. So what you got to do, you put a bit of tape over it and it dies because there's no oxygen. And then you pull out like, you know, like a 2 centimeter long maggot or an inch, whatever, whatever the American.
So you've been watching videos of that?
No, I haven't watched them. I'm saying that is like something that's as bad as I'll go. I'm not going to bloody watch a guy bloody.
Okay, fine.
It's a fucking blackhead. what other action sequences were there? They kind of... There was a lot of shooting in that last bit because they infiltrate a thing.
Yes.
But it's just kind of...
As a montage. Yeah. I felt that was the point...
There was a lot of split-screen montaging.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting in so far as we've seen that a million times.
Yeah.
Especially this kind of 1960s, yeah. We'll all put on the black berets and have yeah. machine guns and shoot up a, you know, a James Bond style island yeah. castle yeah. headquarters kind of thing. So I think it was kind yeah, of smart for him to go,
yeah.
we've seen it, yep. skip it, it's Agreed. Fine. We'll get to the meat of this. There was a bit of, which I was in the first Sherlock Holmes, I don't know about the second one, where it's sort of that quick reveal of what happened. Do you hate those?
No, I don't hate it, but you can't tell me something and then, okay, so the one that I hated because they kept doing it was the last one.
Yep.
Where he goes, we can trace the signal
yeah.
where the ship is or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then literally 2 minutes later, they had a flashback to him saying, we can trace the signal.
It wasn't even 2 minutes.
Yeah, you're right.
It was like 30 seconds.
So I was like, I'm not an idiot. Like, I remember. Yeah, yeah. that's another example of like, this movie thinks it's smarter than what it is.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's like, so you didn't catch that, did you? No, I noticed because you just said it.
Right.
Like, I didn't miss it.
Yeah, no, I felt, again, I'm not against those. And see, that I feel is, that's what Guy Ritchie has left kind of thing. Like, that is his, like, that's yeah, a bit of, sig- a bit of that, that is I mean. A bit of signature Guy Ritchie that he's put in there. Like, and that's all the personality yeah. he's given to this.
Okay.
I didn't think the movie was entirely without personality. I thought it was fun.
Fashion was good. Yeah.
That Pierre Cardin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the action sequence where they're driving in the forest or whatever?
That went on way too long.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
It was, that felt more.
I like the villain of a smarmy 1960s Italian.
More of that?
Yeah, that was great. He had a great Pierre Cardin look.
I'm going to have to look this guy up.
Yeah.
Or fashion brand?
It's a fashion brand that's sort of gone to the dogs, but it's back in the day.
Good.
Yeah.
They're also talking, like I said as well, I did a review of this. They're talking sequel for this.
Okay.
And I wouldn't mind that. Because
we sort of had a sequel in the credits. Did you stick around for the credits?
No, I didn't. What happened in the credits?
Well, look, in the credits, because they're like...
My dad was just yelling about Hugh Grant.
Speaking of Hugh Grant, I enjoyed... I assumed Hugh Grant was going to be the bad guy in this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But then it turned out obviously not. But in, you know, at the end, he's like, we're all going to Istanbul.
Yeah.
In the credits, just instills behind the credits.
Yeah.
It's the stuff they're doing in Istanbul.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, it's there you go.
It's kind of fun. Yeah.
So there's your bloody
like
sequel.
It's them in Istanbul wearing the Istanbul equivalent of the Pierre Cardin look. And just being there and, you know, it's fun. And you see all the file cards with all their vital statistics and stuff like that. Did you leave straight away?
Yeah, man. I was all right, bloody fine. Out that door.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I would watch a sequel to this.
Me too.
Mm.
I think it has legs, and I think, and again, I said this in my review, you can have like your super serious Bond or Bourne,
yep.
where it's all gritty and grimy, and
uh-huh.
he's wearing like a real gross sweater and running through fucking Prague or whatever. Yeah. Like, you can have that.
A real gross $10,000 sweater, just yeah, so right. we're clear.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I fucking hate Prague, by the way. that's a story for another day. But, I was going to say.
But this is more...
You can have this. You can yeah. have some fun stuff, man.
Yeah. Did you feel it was reminiscent of a Bond movie in the 60s? Well, How do you feel?
Yeah, I did. And I sound like a bloody broken record from the 60s, mate, because records are from then. Yeah, it feels like that. Like, it feels like Quentin Tarantino made a real watered-down 60s Bond movie.
Right, okay.
Which he actually wanted to do.
So you mean, like, does it feel like... Quentin Tarantino got the keys to the Bond franchise.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to make this movie. And they're like, up, not so fast. Yeah. You've got to take a lot of stuff out
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah. And he doesn't really do that, obviously.
No, so that's, whatever. Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah. But that's amazing that he can just do whatever he wants.
I know, right?
What a bloody legend.
Yeah.
What a bloody coke fan.
No, that does feel, yeah.
He is.
Allegedly. Nah. Yeah, no, that does kind of, I think you're right. That does feel kind of yeah. like that. So it feels like, It's faster paced than a Bond movie from that era.
Certainly.
But it is, yes. So, yeah. Imagine if this was a Bond movie from the 60s. You'd be like, this one's amazing.
Yeah, I know, right? You
would. But its expectations have changed, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You'd be
right.
like, he's not walking down slowly down a hallway to get a pick up a phone in the hotel lobby while the James Bond theme plays for some reason.
Yeah.
What pacing?
It was...
I like this movie now that I
yeah,
think
Yeah, I liked it too. Yeah. He was... what was I going to say? He wanted the rights, Quentin Tarantino. Oh,
to the Man from U.N.C.L.E. to
Bond. No, sorry. He wanted the rights to Bond after Die Another Day. He's like, give me the keys.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll make a Pierce Brosnan 60s era Bond movie.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh.
And they were like, no. And then they obviously didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to see a 60s Bond
There's
movie,
There's a lot
man.
Of appeal in that
Absolutely.
In that era. Because they make... You could, they used, very occasionally they will release a new Bond novel.
Yeah.
Set in the 60s.
Okay, sure.
I can't remember who wrote the last one, but it's him writing as Ian Fleming.
What?
Like he writes the...
Okay, so he's not like, I'm Ian Fleming and I'm writing a James Bond novel.
That's
it's not
right.
That.
Yeah, no, it's
not
like...
not an account of Ian Fleming writing a James Bond
like,
novel.
Yeah, it's like, it's an... Oh, I can't remember
It's written in his style, is that
what
you're
saying? Yeah, it's written in his style and it's quite good, actually.
Okay. I've never I don't think I've ever read any of the Bond
They're not
novels.
Great. Look, again, speaking of this Man from U.N.C.L.E. reboot being better than some of those movies.
Yeah.
This, the latest Bond novel is a lot better than... Some sure. of the Ian Fleming ones. Did you know Ian Fleming created some of the concepts for Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
Really?
He created the character Napoleon Solo.
What do you think of the name?
I like the name.
Me too.
Yeah, it's good, right?
It's a good name.
Yeah.
What else did he think of? How many women should be struck per episode?
Yeah, probably. He also came up with a character from The Girl from U.N.C.L.E., which was the spin-off series.
Oh, really? What's that like?
I can't remember. I didn't watch any of those.
I don't know. I don't really have anything else to say about
it. Yeah, that's fair.
It's pretty good, I guess.
Yeah, great.
I got a letter here about it while you're looking
ready.
Up a thing.
Okay, ready.
Hey, James and Nick, I watched The Man from U.N.C.L.E. today and thought it was relatively fun but ultimately quite a forgettable movie. I wouldn't be offended by the thought of a sequel, though. Yeah, that's exactly it, isn't it? Mm,
yeah.
I was wondering...
Now that they've set the table, let's have some The Bloody Main Course. All right?
I was wondering what you thought about the accents in the movie. I thought Armie Hammer's Russian accent wasn't the best, but at least he committed to it. Alicia Vikander just used her own Swedish accent. And when a character was German, I couldn't place Elizabeth Debicki's accent at all. It wasn't Australian, but wasn't Italian, which is where I assume her character was from. Overall, pretty mixed bag, which took something away from the otherwise good performances to me. Thanks, Colin. I thought it was like very slick and very cool and, you know, it was brisk-ish.
Yeah, sure.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's great.
That'll do it?
That'll do it. Sebastian Falks, he wrote Devil May Care in 2008. In the style of Ian Fleming. That's very good.
That's a good name for a Bond movie.
Yeah, pretty good.
Apparently they're running out of James Bond books to
oh, they're done.
The
yeah, they're all, yeah.
No, there's more titles they can take. One of them is James Bond Goes to New York.
Oh, James Bond in New York.
In
yeah,
New York,
that was
so,
yeah, that's one and of the short stories.
They're
yeah.
never going to use that, are
no,
they?
No, exactly, yeah. Well, Quantum of Solace was just
it's name only.
It's
it?
Name only, and yeah. it was like a short story in a compilation. Yeah. One of which the name of which I forget, but
great name though.
Yeah.
Not a great film.
No.
Anything else?
No, that'll do it.
You know what it's time for then?
What's it time for?
What we reading?
What we gonna read?
I'm doing a thing. What are we reading today?
That's how we're doing it now, apparently.
Yep. What are you reading, aside from gross bloody YouTube videos?
You know what? We talked about this last week. I rewatched Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Oh, did you?
It is so much better than the reboot.
Wow.
Like, there's clearly some kind of hokey moments in it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a scene where Reed Richards goes to his
club.
Yeah, he goes to his bachelor party, and he starts doing groovy dance
with
all his stretchy limbs or whatever. But it's quite solid. Like it's quite solid. Like, because I don't think we'll talk about this in the show, but we saw the first Fantastic Four movie together, the one
we
from 2005.
We saw them both together.
Yeah. And the first one was incredibly bad.
Yes.
Although we haven't seen it since.
True.
And then the new one came out, and I went in with my expectations so low. I'm like, this is going to be total garbage.
Yeah.
Why are we doing this? Because we hate ourselves. And I went in, and I'm like, oh, this pleasantly surprised at how good it was. And I've always thought, well, maybe it was just Stockholm.
Good's not the word. You're going to say good?
I'm saying it was generally, yeah, good. And then, but I'm the whole time I'm like, maybe it's just because my expectation was so low.
Sure.
I thought it was good. I'll rewatch
it. Because
it
was off the back of Spider-Man 3 as well,
which
wasn't good.
So
either.
I rewatched it. It's good. It's fun.
Jesus.
Like
I'm going to have to watch it.
It's silly and it's not, like it's certainly not modern day MCU good.
Yeah.
But it's pretty good fun.
I like the
Chris Evans is great in it.
Yeah.
As Johnny Storm. He's obsessed with like building the Fantastic Four brand and becoming even more famous than he already is. Chiklis is in it. Jessica Alba's pretty good.
Yep.
And they're like...
Mr. Fantastic isn't great, is he?
He's all right.
Really?
He's kind of goofy, but it's all right. He's better than bloody the one we got recently.
Old tough
like,
guy
both,
McGee.
Like, yeah, like, and Mr. Fantastic and Invisible Woman are like adults. They're like, Reed Richards is like, I'm sorry I did all the science stuff on our wedding day. I ruined everything. And she's like, well, we're stopping the world from being destroyed, so it's fine. Like, I understand. I'm not an idiot.
Both of us are adults.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, there you go.
It's good fun.
I remember liking the conclusion where Johnny gets all the powers and beats up Dr. Doom.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
I remember enjoying that.
Yeah.
And I also like the Silver Surfer stuff in that.
Yeah.
I don't like Galactus. That's obviously not good.
No, it's never really...
Big Cloud.
Yeah, the backstory is never fully established, like, because we never see Silver Surfer's origin, really.
No.
So we never really understand why he's built his allegiance to a Big Cloud. Like, because in the comic...
But it's a pretty big cloud.
Right, because in the comic book... In the comic book versions, you know, it's an actual entity and he can speak to it and blah, 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 and, you know...
Mm.
And you sort of... And you understand, like, how he gives the powers to the Silver Surfer or whatever, but how does a Big Cloud give... Why doesn't he just turn the Silver Surfer guy into a big cloud?
That's a good question.
It is a smaller cloud, really. Cloud.
You wouldn't turn him into a bigger cloud. No, that's madness.
No, yeah, it's madness.
I never understood like why the Silver Surfer's like... Because he kills Silver Surfer's family, doesn't he, in the whole planet where he's from?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, that's the condition.
That is the condition.
Is that in the movie?
No, it's never mentioned.
Okay, all right. So we did say that. Okay.
Yeah, and he...
So that's why he does it. That makes way more sense.
Yeah, in the original comic books... Silver Surfer, Galactus is going to destroy the planet, and Norrin Radd, who's the guy who becomes the Silver Surfer, he's the only guy on the planet with a spaceship because everybody else is like, yeah, space travel, who cares?
So he's like, I got this.
Yeah, so he's like, I got this, because he's always wanted to be like an astronaut or whatever.
Yeah.
But the society's like, yeah, whatever, we did that, and it's boring. and so he flies into space and he confronts Galactus and he's like, look, you know, you move too slow, whatever, because so you always have to just destroy whatever planet you find, but I can do it faster.
Yeah.
And then Galactus is like, well, you will, because I'll give you all the powers. Shazam. Yeah.
Is that, he was pointing to Shazam.
Shazam, yeah.
Who flew past. Yeah, exactly. That's interesting. Yeah. Okay, good. Now, in the comics, can you explain to me how original Galactus would eat a planet? Because he's like 9 feet tall.
He doesn't really, like, in the originals, he's got, because Galactus is just sort of a concept more than he is like an actual guy.
Okay,
because like his size varies all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not like an artist's error. It's like sometimes he decides to be 30 feet tall and sometimes he decides to be 100 feet tall or whatever.
Okay, sure.
But what he does is, because he's got a big spaceship and he gets to the planet and he like...
He's got a big chair, doesn't he?
He's got a big chair and he'll drop down like big Jack Kirby style machines on the planet and they will convert the life energy of their planet to...
A plate of broccoli.
Yeah, a plate of broccoli, and then he eats the broccoli at his little cosmic powered table. Yeah.
Great.
So he doesn't actually chomp down. I mean, there's a lot of Galactus art where he's literally chomping on a planet or whatever.
But he's not.
He never actually
does
that, yeah.
Oh, that's very deceptive.
I know.
This gets a bloody bad rap, mate.
Yeah. What have you been reading?
Well, I just want to know, what does he do with it? Why is he doing that?
What do you mean?
Why is he bloody...
Well, Galactus is the last survivor of the previous universe that existed before the current universe.
Yeah, but there's a reason that that universe no longer exists, because it's stupid.
Yeah,
it's
it was
big, stupid
was
men rather
yeah,
than
no, you're right. But he wasn't a big guy. He was just a regular guy.
Oh.
And then he survived, well, I assume. Oh, no, actually, he was, I think, from what I remember...
Was he a celestial?
No.
So they're a different thing.
They're a different thing. So he, basically, there was... I think there was one civilization left in the previous universe.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're going to survive the thing. So they all merge into like one guy.
Yeah.
And then he does something and he survives the destruction of the old universe. And then he comes out of it and he's Galactus.
Mm.
And he has to eat planets to live. And if he dies, the universe dies. Which is why nobody can just kill him. Like, that's the question. Why don't we just... Like, if all the superheroes teamed up, they could probably kill him.
Who cares if the old universe dies?
No, this universe would die.
Ah, fine,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
God.
What have you been reading this week?
That guy sounds like, I don't know, man. I like him. I like what he's about. I've been reading American Vampire.
Oh, yeah.
I've been recommended it a few times. It's Scott Snyder and Stephen King, famous authors, both of them's.
Yeah.
It's really great. It's about, it's kind of set in two kind of time periods and it does also move forward through various eras. Mm-hmm. But it starts off kind of in the Old West and also 1925, and it parallels these two stories about...
Oh, yes, I've heard about this, yeah.
Yeah, it's so that you've got your original, like your classic kind of weird, bloody Transylvanian, European, Euro-trash vampires.
Uh-huh.
And like they accidentally turn this outlaw, this American outlaw, into a vampire who has none of the weaknesses of a vampire.
Right, gotcha.
Like Blade. But he's like a monster.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's not a good bloke by any stretch.
Right, sure.
And so it's...
He's not a Tom Cruise in An Interview with a Vampire.
I've never seen that movie.
No, neither have I.
Hmm.
Let's watch it now.
Let's watch the sequel as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's great. It's really good. It's obviously very gory and whatever, but I like what they've done with the lore. I like that there's lots of volume so I can bloody read through it, mate, and just bloody get into it.
Mm. I might actually reread Devil May Care, the James Bond novel.
Okay.
Give that a whirl.
What's the theme song for it?
Oh, okay. So are we doing...
Oh, sorry. One more before we do
okay,
that.
I'm ready.
That was the next thing.
Yeah.
This is what we're reading from Bailey from London.
Yep.
Hey, James and Dick Grayson. A long time, actually says Dick Gayson, but you know.
Yeah, you've cleaned it up. I did. Good.
A long time listening to the podcast.
There are some slurs on this podcast.
Just wondering if you blokes are going to see Southpaw that's out on the 20th in Australia with Jake Gyllenhaal. I saw it a few Sundays back and it's got great performances and also surprisingly gritty and realistic for the situation this guy's in, despite a few leaps in logic towards the end. Tragic story to endure with a great ending. Can I be the official Rob Schneider / Roy Schneider? Shider of the show. Thanks, lads.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to see
Southpaw? You can also be the Roy Shire, the booth. All those three things.
You going to see Southpaw?
Yeah.
I think I will. Yeah. I won't rush out and see it, but I've heard it's incredibly like grim and depressing, but it's like Gyllenhaal, I heard, is really good in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think he's kept his Prince of Persia abs.
Oh, so. Great.
Right, do we have a theme for letters this week, Mason?
Well, as you know, as the listeners know, you refuse to edit in a new a letters theme every week.
Correct.
So I asked the listeners to send me a new letters theme every week. So if you want to do that,
yes,
record a letters theme, put it on YouTube,
yep,
tweet me the link,
yep,
so I can play it through my phone, because that's the only way this is happening, basically.
And you only pick one, don't you?
Yes.
And it might not even necessarily be the best one. It's whatever one that...
It's whatever I find first, basically. I get a lot of tweets. Who knows? Sure. Anyway, this week, because I said in honor of...
You're a bit of a bloody internet celebrity, aren't you? You're bloody making your app in the world. You're a bloody... You're going to be a bloody nostalgia critic, are you?
Yes.
A bloody Doug Walker, mate.
Yep.
So go on.
So anyway...
A bloody James Rolfe.
Oh, yes. He's good. I like that guy. He's good. Anyway, so this week I said, could people send in a letters theme, like a spy themed one? Because we're talking about the Man from Uncle.
Sure.
And we got one from Ben Standbridge. Great. Here we go. Ears unheard. Here we go. We're going to play it through the thing.
Good.
Oh, good start.
That is haunting.
That was haunting.
Kind of sexy.
Thank you, Ben. That was great.
I enjoyed that.
I enjoyed the audio of me saying spy theme, just in case it wasn't spy themey enough. So thanks. That's great.
Cool.
Let's listen to some letters.
What about next week? Bearing in mind, I think we're going to watch Agent 47 for next week. Someone emailed in and they said, stop watching movies every week because I don't want to go see a different movie every week.
Good point.
Which I can understand.
Yeah, sure.
Hopefully this will be the last one. Because okay. I want to do a regular show.
Yeah, me too. So yeah.
I'm sick of this fucking movies. I'm sick of seeing movies.
Yeah, they're no good, are they? Movies are bad. If you want to send us a letter, weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. I think we mentioned
yes.
that. But yeah, that'd be great.
Spy thing. Sorry, letters theme for next week though.
Do
you want to think about it?
I'll think about it.
All right, sit on it, mate. In a polite way.
In the happy days style of sitting
exactly.
on it. Okay, great.
This is from Michael. I'm from Sweden. Do you want me to do the accent?
Yes.
I'm from Sweden.
Very good.
Oh, it's so offensive, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I tried to get my friends to listen to the podcast, but they said they hate people with Irish accents, which made me laugh so hard. The Irish are all right, aren't they?
No.
Bloody greens, mate.
That's right.
I don't know if you remember that. But I was wondering, do you guys have any favorite Swedish actors? Do you want to name some? Because he's listed four. But if you want to name some, I'll
is Mads Mikkelsen Swedish?
He's not on here.
Then it's Mads Mikkelsen. No, I don't know. Like, tell me some Swedish actors.
Peter Stormare.
Okay.
Jurassic Park 2.
Peter Skarsgård.
That's Stellan Skarsgård.
Stellan Skarsgård, yeah. Sure.
You know Peter Stormare, right?
No.
He's in Fargo. He's in Jurassic Park 2.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think he's in Joey, the sitcom Joey.
Oh, sure.
He's in Arrow. He's Count Vertigo in Arrow.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, he's great.
Yes.
He's in Armageddon. He's the Russian guy in Armageddon.
He's the big rock in Armageddon. Sure.
Yes, he's the big rock. Stellan Skarsgård.
Stellan Skarsgård, he's pretty good, yeah.
Thor 1 and 2.
Alexander Skarsgård.
Oh, he is.
He is.
Wait, you said Peter
I can't
Skarsgård.
Remember what I said. Yeah, well, whatever.
Which one's Alexander Skarsgård?
You know.
Which one's he? What's he in?
Yeah, I'll bring him up.
Where's he from?
He's in True Blood.
Oh, that guy.
He's that guy.
Yeah, I know him.
Okay,
he's
right.
In Battleship.
Great.
So he's Swedish.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Look up bloody Hannibal.
Mads Mikkelsen. Yeah. He'd be on here. Greta Garbo. She's Swedish.
Who's she? Well, I know her. For those people who don't know, Garbo is the slang term for garbage man in Australia.
Correct.
Yeah.
Dolph Lundgren.
Great. Apparently he's in Kindergarten Cop 2. It's a real thing.
There you go. Great.
Michael Prendebar. Brandt. Mm-hmm. He's in The Hobbit 2 and 3. If you remember, you only saw the third one, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
He's the guy who drops off an eagle and turns into a bear. Do you remember that?
Not really.
That's believe unfortunate. Me, mate. It's a real thing
okay,
that
good.
Happens.
Great.
And Maylene Ackerman. Maylene Ackerman. Yeah,
who's Watchmen. Yeah, Watchmen, yeah.
Yeah. They're all good.
And she's great in Children's Hospital as well.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's great fun.
I think she's in the one where Ben Stiller gets married and he's like, I think I hate my dumb wife. It's not called that.
Should be, though.
Yeah.
Joel Kinnaman, Robocop. He's Swedish.
Is he?
Yeah.
There's quite a few.
I know.
There's plenty more Swedes.
Ingrid Bergman. Bergman.
Don't know her.
Ingmar Bergman.
They're the same person?
No, they're different people.
Any others?
No, that's it. All
right. This is just some of the most famous ones you can choose, but you can choose anyone else. Also, can I be the official Swedish guy of the podcast?
Yes.
Yes, you can.
You have to be the official Swedish chef, though.
Correct.
Yeah. Also, my favorite Swedish actor is Mads Mikkelsen.
Where's he from?
I think he's from Denmark. I don't know.
Do you want another letter?
Yes.
This is from Curtis. This is from Andrew from
Tech. He is from Denmark. All right.
Great. Good guess.
Thank you.
You know your that it regions of the
I
world.
I know. He's got that Pierre Cardin look. You know what I mean? I know.
That
I know
trash look.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is now, right?
Yeah.
That's what you said, your words. Andrew from Texas, the official question of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Greetings and salutations, Nick and James. This past year has sparked the rise of that television show reboot with upcoming projects such as Heroes Reborn, which apparently the creator said, by the way, that it's going to be better than Heroes. If you can believe that.
I cannot. I guess.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
You would really hope so.
With Full House, The X-Files miniseries, Twin Peaks, etc. As well as several in development, including the recently announced Fresh Prince. They're doing that again, by the way. Xena Warrior Princess. With all these former shows returning, like an undead horde, I was wondering if there are any shows that you would like to see brought back to the small screen, aside from Firefly, because we're never going to get that back, unfortunately. Anyways, keep doing
it. We're going to do a petition.
That's still going, isn't it?
That petition is still going, so we're definitely going to get Firefly back.
Joss Whedon doesn't want to make big movies anymore, does he?
No, he does not. Why would he?
He wants to resurrect a dead property.
That nobody watched initially, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I do like Firefly, but yeah, it's not coming back.
I would like to see a reboot of the computer animated cartoon series Reboot. I genuinely would.
I think
not just for a
they're
pun.
Doing that.
Great, good.
Yeah.
Great.
You know, I'm going to say something. Oh, first of all, P.S. I did want a Psycho-style remake shot for shot of Batman 89 for the next Batman solo film.
Yes.
Nick, you understanding Madman.
That's right.
I don't need any of these. Just make new stuff. Why do we have to keep
going?
But
thinking is hard. Thinking of new stuff is hard.
Yeah, but like, I'm sick of all this nostalgia bullshit. Can't we just make new stuff and move forward?
No.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
And I mean, that means...
Quickly, think of a new idea. Think of one.
I can't, mate. Okay, Teenage Mutant.
Yeah.
Cats.
Great.
Samurai Pizza Cats.
You're thinking of Samurai Pizza Cats. You're thinking of a Samurai Pizza Cats reboot. Exactly.
No, it's hard to think of a new thing, I guess. But I'm just saying, like, I feel like a lot of the times, like, okay, for example, the guy who does bloody, what's it called, that comedy that got cancelled, Arrested Development.
Uh-huh.
What's his name?
Mitch Hurwitz.
I'd like to see him make a new thing. Keep forcing him to make like and talk about Arrested Development, which is an amazing show, but I'm sure he's got other ideas if you just let him do it.
Only got the one idea though, and outwardly he's like, oh well look, the fans want Arrested Development, so I talked to Netflix and I got more, but that's what you want, I guess. But then he leaves the press conference, he's like, oh, I did it again. I convinced people that I had other ideas other than Arrested Development.
Yeah, I guess. Look, to be fair, out of those, I'm interested to see what the X-Files series is like.
Yes,
but then again, I don't care. I probably won't watch Heroes.
Yep, I will.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'll probably watch the Full House trailer.
Yeah.
Twin Peaks, I never watched originally, and I heard if you go back and watch it now, you're just like, what is this?
A lot of people still have it. They love it.
I know it's very popular, but I've heard it doesn't necessarily hold up.
Right.
Is that true? Have you seen it?
No, not recently.
Okay, good. But you know, then again, the directors... You know, if Twin Peaks comes back and you can just like jump in and watch it, I'll probably just do that.
Mm-hmm. Hurwitz has signed a multi-year deal with Netflix. He'll be executive producing Flaked, starring Will Arnett. I don't know what that is, but it sounds great.
Yep.
And Lady Dynamite starring Maria Bamford. That sounds great. That I don't know what it good. Is, but I'm on board with it.
All right. Both of those sound all right.
Great. Mm. You win this round, Hurwitz. You have two more ideas that we know about.
Good for you. Hey, James and Mesa. I've been listening to you guys for about a year now. I just want to say I'm a really huge fan. The only thing is I've yet to find someone who finds the podcast as well as James' YouTube channel as terrific as I do. I live in Canada, so I understand that that the blizzards and igloos and polar bears may get in my line of vision.
Causing, and the politeness, probably.
Probably. Causing it to be a difficult, causing it to be difficult to spot a fellow Weekly Planet fan. But maybe we can think of some sort of mating call in order to identify a fellow obsessed listener. Thanks so much. Love, Mike. P.S. I'd like to be the official Wolverine's left sideburn of the podcast. Smiley face.
Love it.
Should there be some kind of mating call?
I maybe think you should yell whack-a-da-doo really loud. Whack-a-da-doo. Like that.
Like that.
Yeah. To indicate you're a weekly whack-a-da-doo. Which, again, we've established I'm bringing back.
I don't... You know, do you like it when you listen to a video or a podcast or whatever and they're like... And I've said this before. I don't like when someone's like, hey, and they give you a name or whatever.
Oh, which sure, is yeah.
What we've done here.
Sure.
I'm like, don't call me
well, ours is ironic.
Yep.
One assumes. I don't know. I've lost track.
Sure. Whack-a-da-doo. Send us some
yeah.
of that.
Yeah, a bit all of
right,
that.
Right.
Yeah. Just, which won't be embarrassing in public at all. Just so we're clear, also, if I see somebody in public, they say it to me, I'm not doing it back.
Because we run it.
Yeah.
So right. We don't have to.
Yeah. I'll just give you like a two half thumbs up and then I'll walk away.
Good. And a knowing look.
Yeah.
All right. That's the show. You know right. It is because I'm bloody locking my phone.
That's
mate.
Right.
Where can people find us?
Oh, they can find us weeklyplanetpod at Gmail and Facebook and Twitter and Bandcamp.
Yes.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies.
Mr. Sunday Movies dot... Wait, patreon.com/MrSundayMovies.
.com.
Thank you to The Brute and the Basilisk for the theme songs.
Yes.
We did that almost without a hitch. How good is that?
Nearly.
Yeah.
So like I said, look, if we go see Hitman and it's not good,
yep.
I don't want to talk about it. Unless it's like so
we'll
bad.
Pick another topic.
Yeah, because man...
Unless it's... Brutally bad.
You know what? I emailed the Fox and I'm like...
You know what, guys? If you could send me a letters theme for next week in honor of Hitman, just some sad violins because it's probably not going to be very good. Or just a theme song that's just... Imagine just squeaking a bald man's head. Just you could do that for like 30 seconds, like all squeaky, and make a theme song out of that. I would appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Or do whatever you want. It's
like
fine.
Like a record scratch with a bald man's head.
Yes.
Great. Mm-hmm. I'm all for any of those things.
Yeah.
I emailed Fox. I'm like, is there
make some better movies?
Yeah, it is.
Come on, guys.
Get it together.
We got some content to fill on a podcast, if you could, if you wouldn't mind. Anyway, you emailed Fox.
Yeah, and I said, are you guys screening this? Or like, are there any preview screenings or whatever?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we're not screening this one.
Oh, boy.
That doesn't mean they're not screening it overseas. It just means they're not screening it here.
Okay, sure.
So that, though, I've seen some clips and I'm like, the action looks okay. Huh. We'll see, though, won't
we? We'll see, won't we?
It's got Zachary Quinto.
Oh, yeah.
Heroes his own.
He'd look good with a shaved head. Why isn't he the main guy?
I don't know. He needs to keep his bowl cut for bloody Star
That's
Trek.
That's probably true. Yeah. All right, so we'll do that, and then the week after we'll do something that isn't reviewing a movie.
Maybe we'll do another Versus episode. People have been asking
okay,
for
Okay, let's
that.
Do another Versus. Yeah. I'm ready for that. What have we done? We did Hero versus Hero. We've done Villain versus
maybe
Villain.
Maybe we just go back just to whoever versus whoever.
Great.
Yeah, just whatever.
So, guys, if you want to hear us debate who would win in a fight between blank and blank, send us in those two.
Not yet.
No,
because I won't start getting them.
Okay,
next
we'll do it next week.
Because otherwise,
right.
I'll just get flooded.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Not yet, Mason.
Fine. Jump the gun.
Put it away.
All right. Put it away. Close the laptop. Drive into a lake.
Correct.
And then come out of the lake in a week and send us your suggestions.
What do you got?
We'd appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's the show.
I think this is a shorter one.
I'm going to close out with my classic catchphrase, "Grab that gem," and then you can close with your classic catchphrase, "I'm not going to say where's my Pischetti." Could you say that? So grab that gem, you guys.
Can I just go, can I have total silence?
No, you have to say.
I'm not going to say my classic catchphrase, grab my bloody spaghettis, mate. Okay.
Great, we did it. Okay, bye everyone.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.